So I'm Sheldon Brown, the director of the Arthur C. Clarke Center for Human Imagination, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity that we have to try to shape some intellectual agendas that cut across the campus in what I think are really profound ways, but ways that I think UCSD is also very uniquely positioned to make an incredible societal-wide impact on with these kinds of structures. So today we have four people who will be starting kicking this off to talk about some of the bases of how we might be able to rethink some very fundamental aspects of how of what we are as humans and the way we conceptualize, the way we think, the way we imagine, the way we create. I'll let each speaker give a brief introduction of their own work, and I think we're starting with Ralph Greenspan talking about the new Center for Brain Activity Mapping.
Thank you, Sheldon, and thank you, Sandy, and Suresh, and Kit. As both Suresh and Sheldon mentioned, I've been involved with the Brain Initiative, as announced by President Obama last spring, and I'm running a new center here on campus that is designed to implement the ideas that were behind that original proposal. And what was that? It grew out of a meeting that was sponsored by the Kavli Foundation about 2.5 years ago that was explicitly attempting to get two fields to talk to each other that had not, neuroscience and nanoscience, with the notion that they could be of use to each other. Nanoscience to make tools that neuroscientists could use, neuroscience to help guide the applicability of what nanoscientists do. And after fits and starts, what came out of that meeting was a core group of us who put together a proposal that made its way miraculously to the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, and after a year and a half worth of meeting and various activities, became the Brain Initiative. And we are doing our own campus version of this. In addition, California State may also be doing its own version of this, we hope. And why did we want to see this happen? What is the idea here? The idea here is that our current capabilities for how much we can see of what actually goes on in the brain, and not just the human brain, but even brains of experimental animals, even little ones, is extremely limited if you want to be comprehensive. And a great deal of what is most important about what happens in the brain happens in a brain-wide fashion. Certainly relevant to psychiatric disease, certainly relevant to the major cognitive things that we do. And there are obviously, therefore, many interesting scientific questions that will be able to be addressed if there can be an adequate technology push to get us to be able to see those things. And that's where this idea comes in. And what we see is something that will have stages to it. And the first stage is starting to vet and try out and explore technological solutions to how to detect things, how to get signals out, how to be comprehensive. This is not something that will happen very quickly, but we've already started putting together teams of engineers and neuroscientists and chemists and physicists and biologists and various people of all sorts to begin working on this. We've started a seed grant program, generously funded by the Chancellor and the Office of Research Affairs, to enable this to happen. And we're, of course, hoping that this is the beginning of something much bigger. When this shows fruits, and we are able to start getting more comprehensive kinds of data, then there will be another stage that has to do with how you make sense of that, involving an entirely different set of new people that will be brought in, people who deal with data analysis, statistics, mathematics, theoretical physics, all kinds of conceptualizations. And the more we're able to know about the sophisticated cognitive things that we do, the more we can add that to the way we think about what it means to be human, what it means to think, what it means to be imaginative. And this then begins to move into several additional areas of interdisciplinary university activity. One immediately is a training program, one which we've already started in nascent form with a series of monthly lunches. to introduce engineers to neuroscience and to introduce neuroscientists to engineering concepts. And we're doing this through the research projects initially, but there's a great deal of interest in having such a thing grow gradually. There even are jobs out there for people with that kind of training, as companies like Qualcomm try to get into this area. But perhaps more broadly, I think it also has potential for moving into an area that is outside of the sciences completely, in the sense outside of the natural sciences completely. And that is that there are many, many aspects of how we think about what the brain does that overlap substantially and go into areas that are also the main areas of concern for much of the humanities and much of the social sciences. And without wanting to have it be thought of as taking over in those areas, which I don't see at all being the goal, but rather making a contribution to the kinds of thinking that goes on in those areas. That in many of these other disciplines, there are problems that people explore, questions that are examined, ideas that are considered. And among the many that can go into that mix, potentially are those that have to do with a more concrete scientific understanding of what actually goes on in the brain. Where does our sense of self come from in the brain? Where does our sense of joy, of sadness, of all of the things that we think of as making us human? And it's not to say that these will simply be reduced to neurochemicals, period, end of story. It's rather to say that this makes the discussion richer. This makes the picture fuller, and it allows us to really look at things perhaps in a new light, because they will be a combined light rather than one dominating over another. And so it's with that fervent wish, having to do with the fact that long before I got into neuroscience, I was studying humanities, and that's always been my love. I would like to be able to see there be some kind of an appropriate partnership there, one that does that enhances both. And I think this is the kind of thing that a forward-looking university is in a very good position to do. So I'll be happy to stop there and take any questions.
Maybe we get a specific question or two from the audience. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Could you say a little bit about the idea that you have for infusion of neuroscience into the undergraduate side of the university?
Yes, this is one aspect of I guess, what I was driving at with the idea of how one might explore ways that this merges with other aspects of the curriculum, in the sense that it is certainly a major concern in society that people be scientifically literate. And it's very difficult to arrange science instruction for people who are not geared towards it in a way that will be effective and will be lasting. And so perhaps one way of dealing with that issue is by having some things that are really merged between these very otherwise very distant fields, so that aspects that can be brought out in the course of studying personality, in the course of studying the way people think and feel about things in the humanities, can have a sort of a side element introduced that has to do with the scientific perspective on that. These are things that I think could be actually very exciting for faculty to get together and try out in an experimental way.